make? Does it make a difference in how you live your life? Have you felt the Holy Spirit of God injected into your system? Do you know what that means? This idea of being a spirit and living in the Spirit and worshiping in the Spirit, it can be difficult to grasp, but it is so necessary to learn. It is so necessary to make it a part of who you are. The same way that the actor was, you know, he was pretending that space was real. He was acting like he was a starship captain. He was just kind of going through the motions. That was his job. He was just an actor, just to play along that aliens existed. Are you doing that as a Christian? Sure, you've heard that the spiritual world is real. Sure, you've heard that you're supposed to worship in spirit. Sorry. You've heard that you're supposed to worship in spirit. But are you really living that way? Or are you just going through the motions? Are you just acting out that you're supposed to be affected by the fact that you've got a spirit God, you've got a spirit soul, you're supposed to live according to the Spirit? I remember reading a quote one time, and I forget how the quote actually goes, but C.S. Lewis was making a comment about how if we could see people in their true spiritual, you know, as a creature of God, a spiritual creature of God, if we could see them in that true sense, that we'd be tempted to bow down and worship them. I don't know if that's true, but I know that when people saw angels in the Bible in their spiritual glory, they bowed down and they started to worship them until the angels told them, stop, I'm not God. Over and over throughout the scriptures, we see things from a spiritual perspective, and we're no longer to live by our flesh. We're called to live by the power of the Spirit. By the power of the Spirit of God, we're supposed to die to ourselves, to die to the world. We're supposed to chase what the world offers. We're supposed to store up treasures in heaven. That's a totally spiritual idea. You're not putting cash in a bank like you are here in heaven, but you are storing up treasures. You're supposed to reach out to the poor and the widows and the orphans and the prisoners. In the physical world, in our, you know, day-to-day life, doing that doesn't really do you a whole lot of good. But in the spiritual sense, when you help those who are in need, when you give up what you have, when you sacrifice yourself and maybe end up worse off in the physical world, you benefit yourself in heaven. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without even realizing it. How much have you interacted with the spiritual world and not even known about it? How much have you kind of, you know, gone through the motions but never really accepted the fact that I am spirit? I'm working for spiritual rewards. I'm trying to please a spiritual God. I'm working for a world that's not this one. Jesus made amazing claims about life and things that would be just utter nonsense if it weren't for our spiritual existence. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 12, it says, God blesses those who are persecuted because they live for God, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. That's just crazy talk without a spiritual aspect. How does it help you to be mocked and ridiculed and persecuted unless there is a deeper spiritual reality that is being affected by that? It's kind of like Alice goes through the looking glass and they tell her up is down and down is up. In some ways, Jesus says, you know, look at the spiritual world. Up is down and down is up. He says, remember, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. See things in the right perspective. Wake up and smell the reality of it all. If you've seen the Matrix before and you know how Neo goes into the Matrix for the first time and Morpheus says, welcome to the real world. What you thought you knew is not what is real. If you remember when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well and had a little discussion with her, he asked her for a drink and she was shocked by that because, number one, a man doesn't ask it's totally improper to talk to a strange woman. On top of that, he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. They didn't interact with them. They walked around the town so that they didn't have to face them. And so she says, why are you asking me for a drink? And this is what Jesus says. It's in John chapter 4 at verse 10. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this is a very deep well. Where would you get this living water? And besides, are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than what he had and his sons and his cattle enjoyed? And Jesus replied, people soon become thirsty after drinking this water, but the water I give takes away their thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring inside of them, welling up and giving eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me some of that water, and then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to haul water. And it's like she completely missed the idea that Jesus wasn't talking about a physical well or water that you can haul in a bucket. Jesus was talking about a spiritual reality that went much deeper than any well in the world and could completely change a person's life from the inside out. And you and I all need to figure this out if we're going to tap into that eternal life, if we're going to be able to interact with the spiritual, if we're ever going to find the eternal that Jesus was talking about, we have to do it from the spiritual perspective. We need to start looking for spiritual victory. Remember, it said, oh, death lost its victory. So, how do you do that? On a practical level, how do you comprehend the reality of the spiritual? How do you find victory through something that you can't taste or touch or see or hear or smell? Well, let's go back to our scripture for the day, Ephesians chapter 6. Starting down at verse 10, it says, a final word, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in heavenly realms. I need my Noah to come up here. Where's my model? Is he here? Yeah, there he is. Come up here, Noah. Noah's going to model for you. I've got some real physical armor. This first piece, you can come over here, is a flak jacket. How's that feel? Heavy. It's got metal plates in around the heart, or actually it's Kevlar, and then all around your vital organs, and it's meant to protect your heart if there's an explosion or some shrapnel. That keeps from going into all your vital organs. So if you are around an explosion, you'll hopefully survive. This next piece you probably recognize. Here, let's do this first. There's a piece of armor for what? What's that protect? Your eyes, yeah, a piece of armor for the eyes. And then what's that help? Help your head, yeah. So we've got real physical armor so that if you're under attack, you've got something to protect yourself. And we're called, as Christians, to have spiritual armor. Here's another piece that this is probably more modern technology than the biblical days. That's a gas mask. You don't have to put it on. But that would protect you from bad bacteria and chemicals that could poison you. So we've got some real physical armor. And Jesus takes and explains spiritual armor by using physical examples. You can take that off if you want and go sit down and I'll walk through. Thanks, Noah. So that scripture continues. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth. So it starts off, there's your first piece. You've got a belt. Back in the days, you know, a belt could really give you some extra support if it was a big, wide belt. But this belt is truth. Truth is not a hard concept to understand. You tell the truth. Don't be a liar. Don't tell falsehood. Don't lead people astray. One of the Ten Commandments, don't be a false witness. Truth is simple, and truth is a piece of armor that protects you in the spiritual realm. When you're fighting against the enemy, when you're up against Satan, you know, obviously Satan is a powerful spirit. He was one of the top angels in heaven, if not the very top, before he was cast out. And you're up against a strong enemy. So you defend yourself with truth. You tell the truth, it's going to keep you out of a lot of trouble. That's a simple, practical reality that affects the spiritual. Tell the truth, and it'll keep you straight. It'll keep you defended against the enemy. The next piece is the body armor of God's righteousness, like this flak jacket. Righteousness protects you, protects your vital spiritual self from attack. Righteousness is doing the right thing. That's a simple thing. It's not a hard cut to understand. When you make choices that you know are honoring God, when you avoid sin and you do the things that you're supposed to do and live right, righteousness becomes a very important piece of spiritual protective armor. So that's another practical, easy, simple step that affects the spiritual world in a very real way. The next it says, for shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news. Peace is not that hard to understand. It means you don't fight with people. You don't go out trying to start a brawl. You don't get into arguments. You don't cause problems that don't need to be caused. I mean, we have armies that defend. I mean, if somebody broke into my house, I'm going to do my best to defend Jenna and to take care of my house. But you don't go out start trying to stir up trouble. You work for peace. You try to get peace. You try to help other people to find peace. And it says, where's that come from? The good news. Peace comes through sharing the truth of God. Peace comes through helping people to understand what God wants for us. When you share the truth that God can rescue the lost, can turn people's lives around, can rescue them in a spiritual sense from death, it causes peace. That's what this says. So that's another simple step. Truth, righteousness, and peace. And then it says, you'll be fully prepared. And in every battle, you'll need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. So your shield, your big piece of protective armor, is faith. Faith is easy. It's belief in what you're standing for. When you believe in God, when you believe that all the stuff that he's given to us is true, when you really believe it, I'm going to talk about this a bit later tonight, when you believe it, it affects everything you do. If you don't believe it, then you know obviously you're not going to live this way. But if you do believe it to your core, it's going to affect every single decision you make. From the moment that he realized that he was standing in outer space, looking out over those planets and the galaxies, he all of a sudden had some faith. When he was shot across the universe through a black hole and ended up back by his pool, there was a new belief in Jason Nesbitt. Do you have a new belief about the spiritual world? Do you have faith that's going to affect every single decision you make from this day forward, or from the day that you found God and decided to follow him from that day forward? Is it going to affect all the things that you decide to do? We've got tax season coming up. That's a place where a lot of people show what they believe in. You know, it's probably pretty easy for a lot of people to cheat on their taxes. What do you do when it comes to paying your taxes? You know, there are lots of other ways we can cheat. I've been handed the wrong change quite a few times. I could choose to keep it or point out the fact that you paid me too much. I need to give you back some. Every little tiny decision to every big decision, and we think about big sins a lot. We think about, you know, murder and adultery and those kinds of things, homosexuality, abortion. You know, those are easy to spot. And it's easy to say, you know, I don't do that stuff. But what about all the little decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis that point out what you believe in? Because what you believe in shows through what you do. Put on salvation as your helmet. We had a helmet. Salvation protects your spiritual head, so to speak. You can't live without it. You lose your head, the rest of you kind of goes away. Salvation is another, I guess that can be a little more difficult concept, but basically it means you're saved. If you know God, if you're following God, if you've chosen to give your life to doing what God tells you to do, you love and obey God. The Bible says that His Spirit speaks to your spirit and tells you that you're His child. When you have that, you're saved. If you don't have that, you're not saved. You don't have that protection. And then we go into a defensive weapon, or an offensive weapon. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, or our thing that we fight with, the thing that Jesus Christ fought with when He was, remember when He was tempted by Satan in the desert? He fought with the Word. He went, when Satan said, turn those stones into bread, He brought out Scripture and said, no, God says you don't live on bread alone, you live by every word of God. He used Scripture. We're supposed to use Scripture as our offensive weapon. When we go out to tell others about the truth of God and we need to fight for Him, you use Scripture. You use Scripture, and that's all you'll ever need. If you know the Bible, and I've seen people who are, Jed Smock knows his Scripture, so when someone comes after him with an argument, he fires back a Scripture at him. That's your offensive weapon. If you're not reading it, by the way, if you're not in this on a regular basis, you're not going to have your weapon. It's kind of like if you don't carry your gun around, how are you going to fight the enemy? If you don't have Scripture, you know, either in your hand or in your head, how are you going to be able to fight the enemy? So the next one is pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer's not hard to understand. You talk to God. All the time, it says, on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that goes back to reminding us that we're dealing with a spiritual world. We're trying to win benefits in a spiritual world. We're trying to survive spiritually. You know, it really doesn't matter what happens ultimately to our bodies. We do our best to take care of our bodies. The Bible says to take care of your body because you want it to be healthy and last a long time. But eventually, you're going to get rid of this physical body and get a spiritual one. So when you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, stay alert, it says, and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And these are simple, practical steps that help you in the spiritual realm. The spiritual world is very real. Some of you might have had those kinds of experiences. Some of you might have felt spiritual power. You might have seen or been a part of miracles, things that have no other explanation than the power of God at work. My Uncle Steve said once he went to a seance because he thought it was just, you know, a joke. He didn't believe that any of that kind of stuff was real. And he said he felt darkness. He couldn't explain it physically, but he felt it on his spirit, darkness and evil. I remember there was a time when I was in the Navy, and we had our airplanes in hangars, and we had to open the doors, and it was up in Maine, so snow had fallen on the top of the hangar and pressed down on those doors it was pushing on the doors so they couldn't slide open. So we had teams, these are big, tall doors, as tall as this roof, teams of people going out to push these doors open, and because of the weight of the snow, something had caught, and I was on the very edge of the door pushing, and all of a sudden, as we were all pushing, and it broke free, and I heard a crack up above me, and looked up in time to see an I-beam coming for my head. Something pulled me out of the way. I didn't have time to react. I was yanked back, and I looked back to thank whoever it was that I didn't die. Some sort of spiritual power pulled me out of the way. And I've had other things like that happen in my life. Maybe you have too. The spiritual world is real. My grandmother is alive today because of a spiritual miracle. She had a cancerous tumor in her gut this big that had spread all over the rest of her organs. She's healed. She doesn't have that cancer anymore. The doctor, who's not even a Christian, said, this is a miracle. I can't explain it. There the spiritual world, and we are called to find ultimate victory spiritually. Victory over the world by recognizing and living in the power of the Spirit of God. Are you ready to start seeing things in a whole new light? The way Jason did. Are you ready to start living your life with a new purpose, making every single decision knowing that there's a reality beyond this physical stuff? Are you ready to fight for a spiritual victory? Are you ready to put on the armor of truth and peace and righteousness and salvation? Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to have victory over your physical life? To take control of what you do, to not let your flesh run your life, but to run your life by your Spirit, for what God offers, for the treasure in heaven, for that wonderful word from God when He says, "Well done." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, at the very beginning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 starts off, and it says, "For we know that when this earthly tent that we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies. We long for the day when we will put on heavenly bodies, like new clothing. For we will not be spirits without bodies, but we will put on new heavenly bodies. Our dying bodies make us groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and have no bodies at all. We want to slip into our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by everlasting life. God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, that we are not at home with the Lord. That is why we live by believing and not by seeing. We walk by faith and not by light. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So our aim is to please Him always, whether we are here in this body or away from this body. For we must all stand before God to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil that we have done in our bodies. It's because we know this solemn fear of the Lord that we work so hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. What you do on a physical level affects your spirit. You live your life in this physical body. The decisions that you make on how to make your body work, and the things that you do and the choices that you make, and the way that you live your life has an impact on how you're going to end up spiritually. And it says we each receive what we deserve for the things that we have done in these bodies. So keep that in mind as you head out these doors and decide what you're going to do today. Are you ready to tell the world about the news? To tell the world about the Spirit? That's what the verse ended up with. It's because we know this solemn fear of the Lord that we work so hard to persuade others. We work hard to persuade others because we understand this concept that what we do here on earth in these bodies is going to have the ultimate effect on how we end up. If you're ready for that, may you live and may you breathe and may you fight and demonstrate God to the world through your physical body. Through the things that you do, the choices that you make, the words that you say, like Jenna talked about today. May you show the world, through what you do, the amazing power of the Holy Spirit. Deal? Let's pray. God, thank you that you have rescued our spirits, that even when we went against you and decided to be our own God, that when we were willing to turn back to you and follow you again, that you forgave us. And you gave us this opportunity to have eternal life with you, to have victory over death. God, help everyone in this room to understand this concept of living in the Spirit, of worshiping in the Spirit, understanding that every little tiny thing that we do in these bodies affects our spirit and how we're going to end up in our judgment in front of you. God, I pray that you would not let these people forget it, and I pray that you would encourage them to go out and tell the world. Let their understanding, their fear of you, be their motivation to tell others that they're going to wind up in the same boat if they don't change. Thank you for your love, God, and thank you for this chance to share your word. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.